Hello and welcome to NewsHour from the BBC World Service. We're coming to you live from London. I'm James Menendez. And we're going to start today with a conflict in northern Ethiopia. The government of Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed has ordered an assault on the city of Mekele, the regional capital of Tigray province, in response to what they say are unacceptable provocations by the local authorities there. That assault hasn't happened yet, despite repeated ultimatums, but fears continue to grow for the 500,000 people who live in the city. 3 weeks of fighting in the region have already led to nearly 50,000 people fleeing across the border into Sudan. Well, now Ethiopian troops have been deployed there to stop, it seems, any more people leaving the country. The BBC's Anne Soy is on the Sudanese side of the border.
A young boy is enjoying an early morning swim along this river that marks the boundary between Ethiopia and Sudan. This is where thousands of refugees have been crossing daily to come into Sudan. But today things are different. Across the river, on the Ethiopian side, I can see military officers keeping watch. I am told that they're discouraging people from crossing over to Sudan. They're telling them that they are safe in Ethiopia. But this man I spoke to, who chose to remain anonymous, isn't convinced.
I came yesterday morning and I'd wanted to go back home and bring my family here. But because of the current situation, there are soldiers on the border in Tekeze, near an area called Dima. Those who had gone before me were asked to return, so I haven't been able to go. I've been separated from my family.
But there are some family reunions. That's an 11-year-old girl singing for peace at the Umra Kuba refugee camp. She's just reunited with her father after days on the run.
I was with my grandmother when I started hearing gunshots. When they intensified, I asked her to flee with me. But she said no, she was too old to run. So I fled alone. I had to spend a night in the bush. I was frightened. I had no extra clothes and no money. But I was able to cross the border and then I asked someone to call my father.
A kettle on a wood burner is letting off steam. Tensions back home are showing no signs of easing. There's some music coming from an old radio hanging on one side of the tent, but no news from home. Communication was cut off. Tiglay is 75. For the older people like him, this brings back bad memories. He's becoming a refugee in Sudan for the second time in his life. He was a teenager when he first fled. Now he wants a resolution to the current conflict, but he thinks it won't come easy.
They will not agree on anything unless the world intervenes. But if they are left alone, they will not agree. Now there is war and death. Things cannot be solved that easily. If it happened before the death, there might have been a chance. But now only God knows.
The Ethiopian government has rejected calls for mediation, calling the offensive an internal matter. The regional government is also not backing down. The continued standoff is fueling fears the conflict will persist and potentially spill over to the region.
The BBC's Anne Soy reporting from the Sudanese side of the border with Ethiopia. Well, on Thursday, the Ethiopian government said it had set up 4 camps in government-controlled areas for refugees and what it called a humanitarian corridor to allow people safe passage, although it's not clear where that is. Let's talk to Letitia Bader, director for the Horn of Africa region for Human Rights Watch, who joins us on the line. Welcome to NewsHour. First of all, what information do you have about people on the move?
Well, I mean, I think these incredibly harrowing stories that we've just heard say a lot and give a bit of an insight into what is very much a conflict which is being fought behind closed doors. And so it's very difficult right now to get a sense of the impact inside the Tigray region of ongoing reported fighting, but also military presence in different parts of the region. So, you know, one of the key issues right now is the need for the communications shutdown, which has been in place for over 3 weeks, to be lifted. I mean, the shutdown not only obviously has an impact on the ability of journalists and organizations like ours to report, it makes that means that loved ones are not able to communicate with their relatives inside the region, but it also makes it incredibly difficult for humanitarian organizations who don't have access to date. Of course, the recent comments by the Prime Minister around a commitment to allowing humanitarian assistance are very important, but for the moment, we don't know of any concrete changes on the ground in terms of allowing unimpeded access to the region for humanitarians.
And is your biggest concern at the moment that prospect of an imminent assault on what is a pretty large city?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, the warnings coming from the federal government around an imminent attack. I mean, this is a town where there are 500,000 people living. We were also very concerned about comments which were made a few days ago by military officials around the types of weaponry which would be used in the assaults. Of course, I mean, fighting in urban areas per se is not illegal, but fighting in a way which indiscriminately targets civilians and it disproportionately affects civilians is illegal. And so obviously it is positive that we have heard slightly more, I would say, reassuring messages coming from the federal government and also warnings to the population. But the truth is warnings in themselves are not enough, and partly because many civilians won't be able to leave Mekelle. And so the responsibilities both on the federal government but also on the TPLF.
I was going to say, I mean, what about the Tigrayan authorities, the TPLF? I mean, their leaders said that people are prepared to die.
I mean, there are responsibilities on both sides right now. And so it's absolutely essential also on the TPLF side to not be placing military assets or personnel in areas which are heavily populated. So both sides absolutely need to be taking utmost measures to protect civilians. And this is obviously a message which the international community, the African Union envoys, which are also in Addis as we speak, need to be sending very clearly in their discussions.
Yes, and just a quick final word on that. I mean, diplomacy, though, does seem to be failing at the moment.
It's very difficult, once again, to get a good insight. It seems to be happening quite diplomatically, I would say. I think there have been some very strong messages coming from the EU, calling both obviously on the humanitarian access side, but also making clear that we need to start seeing independent international investigations into the impact of the fighting in the last 3 weeks on the civilian population. But in terms of the discussions in Addis right now, it's very difficult to see those having moved forward.
Thank you very much indeed, Letitia Bader, Director for Horn of Africa for Human Rights Watch. South Africa's embarking on a $60 billion infrastructure drive over the next 4 years in an effort to boost the alien economy. However, protecting the infrastructure it already has is proving to be a formidable challenge.